Welcome to MetaStrategy's Forum on World-Class IT. I'm Peter High, and I'm pleased to welcome Ed Robin to the broadcast. Ed is the Senior Vice President and Chief Information Officer at Fossil Group, a global retailer specializing in fashion and accessory products, including a special focus on watches. Among other responsibilities, Ed oversees the technology that supports Fossil's business operations and develops future technology strategies for the organization while reporting directly to Fossil's CEO. Prior to joining Fossil, Ed served as the Senior Vice President and CIO at JCPenney, another large retailer. Before his work in the retail industry, Ed worked at Burlington Northern Santa Fe, the Feld Group, and later EDS, among other companies. Ed graduated from Oklahoma State University with a Bachelor's of Science degree in Electrical Engineering. I recently caught up with Ed in his office in Dallas, and our conversation covered World-Class IT Principle 1, People, as we discussed Ed's leadership style, Principle 4, IT and Business Partnerships, as we covered his thoughts about IT's role as a retail and brand management-focused company, the difficulty of aligning global teams, and a variety of other topics. This is Peter High. Please consider reading my new book, Implementing World-Class IT Strategy, How IT Can Drive Organizational Innovation. The book covers topics such as the CIO as strategic facilitator, the development of IT missions, facilitating corporate and divisional strategy, the development of IT's own strategic plans, the development of enterprise architecture, reviewing, refreshing, and communicating strategy, and a variety of other topics. You can find it at Amazon.com, my publisher's website, Wiley.com, and at your better bookstores. Thank you very much. Well, Ed Robin, welcome to the Forum on World-Class IT.
Well, Peter, thanks for having me, and it's a pleasure to be here.
Excellent. Well, Ed, I thought we'd begin with Fossil, the company you currently work with. You are the Chief Information Officer of the organization. For those of our listeners who may be less familiar with Fossil, can you talk a bit about the organization as well as IT's role in it?
Sure. Well, Fossil, I like to call it an almost 30-year-old startup. But we're a global brand and product development company. We do business in 27 different countries, both wholesale and retail. We're a manufacturer and also a brand building and marketing company in a lot of ways. So it's not just retail and watches. We do a broad categories beyond that in terms of leathers and jewelry, eyewear, and also apparel. So the complexity of the group is pretty astounding, but the energy and the workforce and the commitment to the company, I don't think you'll find in another company. It's been a very good two and a half years for me here at Fossil. IT plays a significant role in the company. We're both, do production support and things like that, but we've really worked since I've been here to make it more of a strategic enabler for the company, with the thoughts and the goals of being at a competitive advantage for the company over time.
Obviously, as one thinks about the pace of change in technology and it's driving innovation in a variety of industries, retail is one where technology has played a rather significant role in the pace of change and in determining who the leaders and laggards are. And I wonder if you could comment about sort of technology innovation in the retail space and how you think about the variety of channels through which you sell.
Yeah, I think you're right. Retail has been somewhat laggard. Both my experience here at Fossil Group and also at a previous employer, coming from a non-retail environment, I was amazed at the amount of complexity that really goes into running a retail operation. And in Fossil's case, wholesale, retail, manufacturing, marketing, and all the things that we do to operate the company and deliver for our consumers and customers. But with the advent of the internet and mobile technology on top of that, it's prerequisite for any retailer, I think, doing business today to develop that muscle, develop that capability to want to engage your customer, listen to your customer, and be able to really engage with them in the way they want to be engaged. I also think on the operational side of that, the analytics that are required to do that in the right way and somewhat targeted and personal ways is a capability that all retailers need to develop. And, you know, I think most retailers are a pretty good job at doing the old style of marketing. But when it comes to an omni-channel type world, they're building muscle or building capability in order to do that. Consumers end up better armed than we do in terms of their shopping information in most cases. So I think that's a real need and prerequisite for any of the retailers doing business today. But I think that's where you're seeing a lot of the change and the growth and the innovation happening is in that retail space and how you do that and how you talk to that consumer. At Fossil, we also, given we're two-thirds a wholesaler and a third a retailer, we would look at that digital space to include our wholesale customer as well. Our products are found in a lot of the major department stores, so our consumer may not ever walk into a Fossil retail location, so it's important on us to have that brand attraction and the digital capabilities to engage them at the right way when they want to be engaged. And we're not where we want them to be, but we're working very hard to put the right strategies and technology in place to do that.
And, you know, you mentioned omnichannel, which is certainly a hot topic within the retail space for very good reason. Can you talk a bit about the way in which you collaborate with different parts of the organization to make that a reality? And I would imagine also even with external customers in order to...
Well, we've really got a formal approach to digital here at the Fossil Group, and it's fairly early on, but we're engaging all parts of the business from the planning organization through the content creation folks, the marketing team, the retail team, the wholesale team, and it's really a multifunction team that's going after what we need to be doing digitally. It has to be from where we are, and we just don't see it on the transactional sense in terms of buying and selling. That's critical and important, and that'll be a table stakes for us. But when you think about what we do as a brand company, we have interactions with our external partners or our licensed partners that require the exchange of content in the form of line plans or marketing content, B2B type transactions for ordering and those types of things. And so the emphasis is a digital experience that not only enables our consumer interaction, but also enables our partner interactions in a big way, and really try to advance from basic type technology of file transfer and emails and phone calls into more a digital experience, no matter how you're doing business with the Fossil Group.
Ed, one of the things that I have found very interesting in our past conversations has been the fact that you have thought very creatively about your org structure and setting up IT to more rapidly develop ideas, draw ideas from the rest of the organization, as well as deliver ideas back to them. Can you describe a bit about the org structure you've put together?
Coming into the organization, the Fossil, a really good Fossil IT department, but it was very operationally focused, whether that be production support or, you know, service desk or things like that. Strategic enablement, that muscle for us was not very strong. So I really focused the org on IT leadership, and being a former employee of Charlie Feld and being able to work for him and be mentored by him, I have a strong passion for just that IT leadership component of the organization. So my main focus has been in getting the right leaders in the right area of IT, whether that's infrastructure or the app portfolios, but also creating a group that I call common services and having the right leadership there that is focused on those leverage points for our delivery and service delivery and application delivery to the group. So through that IT leadership, high IT leadership quotient and enabling and improving the alignment with the business, the sharing and the actually having a seat at the table has improved, and we're not just seen as order takers, we're actually a partner in the strategy formation and the delivery of that and enablement of that strategy. We continue to evolve, and I also think we earn it through being accountable to delivery, being accountable to clear, crisp communication, and being an added business partner. And one of the things I've tried to impress on my organization is you just can't think about it in terms of a business IT divide. We're actually part of the business. So we talk in terms of our business partners, and we're just as much a business partner as somebody in marketing or finance or one of the brands, and trying to forge that relationship. So to me, having the right leadership in place is a big part of that. Now, through all the leaders, I think all our job is to bring innovation to the company, and we challenging old notions and a lot of fact in terms of how do we go to cloud or things like that. And one of the things we did over the past year was actually took the company into the Google world. So we migrated to Google Apps back in June. we did all the proper change management around that, and it's been a really good experience in terms of the migration and the usage and the adoption. We're a very young company. Our average age is probably in the low 30s in terms of the workforce globally. And so the ability to really affect that change and have it adopted and really absorbed, I think, was helped by the young and energetic workforce that we have here at Fossil.
That's really great. The extent to which what you've described in terms of improving IT's ability to deliver value to the rest of the organization and go from, as you said, that order taker to a more proactive strategic contributor, how have you enacted that cultural change? How difficult was it to switch people's mentality from those who may have been used to working for an IT department that was more the order taker as opposed to the proactive thinking body?
I think the business was hungry for it, so it hasn't been that hard on a business sense. But I think within the IT group, just enabling that license to have that voice and have that seat at the table and know that you could be a strategic force and you have a lot to add to the business solution, that's probably been it's probably more confidence building than it is a skill gap in terms of existing leadership or new leadership or changing the way that IT leadership behaves with the business. So to me, it's confidence building, giving them license, giving them that access, and making sure I provide the right leadership and my VPs provide the right leadership and model that the rest of the organization.
I know you also think a lot about who your best employees are and finding them kind of unusual and hopefully rewarding experiences as part of the payoff for being such strong contributors. And I know that you also draw upon your own experience, having grown up in a variety of different settings, a variety of different IT departments. Can you talk a bit about some of the practices that you've instituted there?
Yeah, I totally agree that a broad experience base is crucial for, I think, IT leadership success. But that comes from, having the right leadership above you that'll give you that opportunity. But I use it in places I've been to really the high potential personnel or the high potential leaders or folks that they don't know they have it and they need that push. And one of the examples here is when I got here at Fossil, one of the things we really needed to work on was just the global alignment because we are a global IT team. Delivering as a team and not so much command control out of the headquarters office. We had a iPad mobile application that we had to build for one of the regions, and it actually became a global team that went to do it with the region providing project management requirements and the team here in the headquarters delivering the application. It's into a different type of retail model that's not exactly your typical four-wall store, but we're now in over 350 points of sale with an iPad mobile app, and they're actually expanding that in EMEA in a couple of countries. But the person I used for that leadership in terms of the development and the program management, we actually used him given that global international experience, and he led the change on the Google front for us as well. So I'm not afraid to kind of leverage experiences from one application into a totally different type of service delivery and get them that broad experience and leverage what they already know. I'm a big believer in that. I was fortunate to have leaders that helped me do that, and I really work hard to try and provide that to my team as well.
You've also mentioned, I know philosophically, Ed, you are a fan of having a very narrow footprint from an IT perspective. Can you talk a bit about the rationale for this, why you've elected to do so, and the ways in which you've done so, as well as the benefits for having done so?
I think it's easier said than done. Probably more difficult today as you get a proliferation of cloud and mobile devices and all that. But it's really the rationale behind it is to really do your best to keep things simple, aligned, standards-based, give yourself the ability to flex resources, maybe more from an application standpoint, but also from an infrastructure. There's lots of opportunities today to take advantage of cloud in that realm and simplify the way IT operates. You can take advantage or play your resource to a more strategic nature than, you know, just keeping the lights on or keeping the network running and things like that. The infrastructure services are evolving to a point today that they are industrial strength, and we want to take advantage of that where it makes sense. But I think it's more about don't get ahead of your skis. Keep a narrow footprint in terms of your architecture, being able to use your resources wisely. I've been in shops where the sprawl and the governance wasn't right, and what they ended up with was a very fragmented architecture where, you know, you couldn't flex resources, couldn't flex demand, and your costs were somewhat out of control, and those are hard holes to dig out of.
You know, as you said, it's sort of easier said than done in many ways. And I know a lot of organizations have had trials and tribulations in trying to make this kind of a shift. You know, as you've thought about the ongoing narrowing of the IT department, is it something that you've sort of done bite by bite? Have you found it to be more effective to go bigger as opposed to smaller as you've changed the way in which you institute and maintain your infrastructure? How have you thought about that?
I think it's almost piece by piece, and some of it trying to have a roadmap and a plan for the amount of change that one, the business can take and absorb, but also your ability and the pace that you're able to run at it. The example here, going Google made a lot of sense. We're coming out of traditional models with ELAs, and which at the end of the day seem like annuities. And we did usage studies on the legacy applications, and we found that less than 3% of the people were using it. So it made a lot of business sense to say, hey, why are we tied up in these old kind of old world licensing activities, and let's move to one where we can pay as we go, we can scale, and we also simplify the operational and also the user experience at the end of the day. So those things like that, we take those into consideration. I think it gets much tougher when you get into more business solutions. We're an ERP shop, so we've got some of that in terms of an integrated footprint, and we don't have too much sprawl, but it's still difficult on a global basis to make sure we have the right integration, the right data models, the right master data, those types of things, to keep it narrow, keep it easy to use. And when you're global and you're dealing with many languages and currencies and things like that, those are just friction points that you got to work your way through. But I do think it goes kind of bit by bit. Somewhat you take what you can get easily done, and then the big things, you make sure you have the right business alignment and you leverage your seat at the table, confidence that you've built. Give the business confidence that the probability of success for some of these changes is very high, or at least you've got plans to make it successful.
You mentioned in a couple of different places your discussion about omnichannel, your discussion about innovation, the need to be highly collaborative as a CIO. You know, the CIO-CMO relationship is one that's been spoken about a great deal, and there's the, you know, speculation that the CMO and the marketing department will actually control a greater percentage of the IT spend in the relatively near term than will the IT leader. And I wonder if you have a perspective as an organization that seems to have a solid IT function and a solid marketing function about that collaboration and the give and take between those two functions in particular.
You know, I tend not to worry too much about the CMO, CIO conversation, because to me, it kind of goes back to the leadership. If I'm doing the right job in terms of the proper alignment, the proper relationship building with my CXO peers, good things are going to happen for the business overall. And, you know, there are, I think in today's day and age, it's companies have to spend where they're going to put their money. And if you're in a retail consumer product good type of market, then you got to be thinking digitally. And the end result is you're going to focus and distort a lot of your funding that way. The ability of the business to use services, technology services, I think is good for technology and IT in general. And I think the need to be agile and fast, that right alignment, that right relationship is going to enable you to pick the right partners that are going to help you do that. And then if you need on-premise support and things like that, then you've built that confidence to go do that. And I would say the relationship I have with our CMO, who is also our chief strategy officer, is very good. We think along the same lines. He's a former CIO, so I think that helps a lot. But there's not a lot of this, you got to sell the technology in. It's more, we need technology. We got to figure out what makes sense for Fossil Group, and then how do we get some speed and agility built into the implementation of it? Because it's, like I said earlier, the digital side of this, the way we communicate with our consumer and our partners is key, and we all share in that game. And so that, I don't care where the spend is, we need to do the right thing for the Fossil Group. It's an important muscle for us.
I wanted to also ask you, Ed, what sorts of IT trends particularly excite you as you look out, say, a couple years? Are there ones that are on your radar that you're trying to sort of think of ways to leverage within your organization or even personally?
Well, I think personally, I'm excited about some of the wearable technology. Being a runner, I've invested in numerous running gear type things and music to go while I'm running. So I'm very interested in that personally, but Fossil Group has announced some collaboration with Intel and Google along those lines, and those still have some ways to go, so that's exciting. But I also think the ability of IT in general to take advantage of some of the cloud type offerings, the mobile aspect and enablement that can be brought to business is pretty exciting from a CIO standpoint. I do think that how do we simplify delivery? How do we simplify processes? How do we think more, maybe more new world, put it in that frame in terms of we don't always have to build on-premise. We can look outside. We need to think through the cybersecurity aspect of it, and that's probably another area where there's a lot of activity, as you know, in the news and the marketplace around that. I think it presents an opportunity. It's a really interesting problem to go solve and work towards as an IT professional. Ways that we, as a retailer, can protect our consumer information, protect the assets of the company that are information-based. It's an interesting problem to go solve, and it's there's a lot of holes in a lot of different areas that we've got to be prepared to plug when they come up, because you don't see it till maybe it happens. And I think we all got to think about it's not if, it's when, and be do our best to prevent it, but also be prepared to respond. So I think the whole cybersecurity and how it fits into IT and how IT approaches that is a very interesting problem that's not going to go away anytime soon, and we need some really big, good thinkers and leadership around that.
You know, it's interesting. Sticking with that theme for just a moment more, Ed, you know, it seems to me one of the conundrums that a CIO has is increasingly he or she does need to focus more on innovation, which has been a topic in a couple of different parts of our conversation, which is all about risk-taking, while also thinking about security, as the example that you've just given, which is all about risk mitigation. And the fact right. that the CIO and his or her team needs to be thinking in really kind of opposite directions in some ways is kind of the paradox of the role and a challenge of the role. How do you think about that balance between ensuring that your risk management is not such that it is turning off the faucet of innovation while also not pursuing every last new opportunity to at the expense of having a secure enterprise?
I use a term with my team is we not to be the purveyors of no, that we really got to get to yes. And yes may take a lot of different forms, but if we get the right people in the room focusing on the right topics, then we will eventually reach the right solution that is both safe, it's affordable, and it's value add for the business. Yeah, yes, there's always going to be that creative / technology tension that you got to work through, but that's I think that's why we're here, and that's what part of our accountability is to the businesses to think through that. And as being a leader, nothing's ever clear in some of these more complex problems you got to go solve. And I don't think we should shy away from it. We need to dig in and have the right team around it, both externally and internally, to go solve it.
Well, good. Ed Robin, thank you so much for joining us on the Forum on World Class IT and providing some thoughts on some of the practices that you've used across your career to make you the successful executive that you are. Thank you so much for a great conversation.
Well, thank you, Peter. It's been an honor and a pleasure. So thanks so much.
You've just listened to a podcast in a series we call Meta Strategies Forum on World Class IT. If you like what you've heard, please consider reading my book, World Class IT, Why Businesses Succeed When IT Triumphs, published by Josie Bass, a division of Wiley Press, in December of 2009. Both the book and the forum on World Class IT offer stories from a wide range of top IT leaders relating to Meta Strategies' five principles of World Class IT. The five principles are as follows. Principle one is people, and it's really the foundational principle. Without the right people doing the right jobs at the right time, it'll be nearly impossible to achieve excellent performance. The second principle is infrastructure. We like to say that this is the principle that separates proactive organizations from reactive ones. If infrastructure is not reliably performing its tasks, the IT organization will become stuck in reactive mode, consistently fighting fires. If systems and hardware and networks and so on work reliably, then a larger portion of the organization can think about the future. The third principle is project and portfolio management. This is the engine through which new capabilities can be brought to bear on behalf of the company. It is important to ensure that projects are delivered on time, on budget, and on target, and that the portfolio collectively supports the objectives of the business. The fourth principle is IT and business partnerships. It's important that, first and foremost, the different parts of IT, from business analysis to development and QA, through to support and all other aspects of IT, communicate effectively and efficiently. It's equally important, then, that IT develop a partnering relationship with the business that it is a part of. If the three prior principles are done well, then IT should earn a place at the strategy setting table, driving different parts of the business strategy. The fifth and last principle is external partnerships. Outsourcing is becoming a crucial weapon that organizations are employing, and managing these relationships to ensure that value is achieved is critical. In the fourth principle, the organization has learned and contributed to the discussion about what is strategic and what is not. Once that's clear, then it will be easier to determine which aspects of IT might be better managed by external partners or vendors. For more information on these five principles and the sub-principles that are associated with each, please visit our website at www.metastrategy.com, and please share your thoughts and comments by contacting us at feedback@metastrategy.com. And our theme music was written by David Armin. I'm Peter High. Thanks for listening.